Welcome to the First Side Pod Panel of 2009. Today we have a very special guest host, the youngest ever, I think. RG is going to take the helm today. So welcome, RG, take it away.
Evening out. Basically, then, Team Honda, we have Dasano Clapper and his baby.
Hello.
Stephen Wright.
Hello.
And Andy Taylor.
Hello.
On Team Gonda, we've got Gavin Brown.
Hi there.
Debutant Chris Evans.
Evening all.
And Alexandrinov. Hello. So, for the new people, just tell you what the scoring system is. If you say a good thing, mainly about Bode, you get this. If you say something bad about Bode, if you make Christine laugh, cry, and if you end up in the water,
I'm in the water.
I'm not sure we've ever done that before.
I like it.
So, question one then, more about, so basically the structure here is that will each be a question on a specific subject, and then in these subjects will be three questions, and two people from one person from each team will answer them. Basically, question one is about Rowan GP, and the first question is Ross Brawn the best person to take the job after loads of other people, every person under the sun has been linked with it? And that question goes to the founder Clapper.
I think he was. He had the money, he stepped in, and he actually put his money where his mouth was. So lots of people spoke up and did nothing about it. So I'd say he is, and his past performance at Ferrari certainly was quite impressive. So I'd put him the best.
And for Team Gonda, Gavin Brown.
I would agree. He's the man that would have turned around the team had they stayed as they were before they turned to Brawn. He's an excellent engineer. He's an excellent manager. He'll bring the right staff on board. He'll cut out the rubbish and give them and the right strategy and the right way to go forward. And I think we've already seen signs of a drastic recovery.
Well, the lack of tests would affect Team Brawn. And that question goes to Stephen Wright.
So far, it doesn't seem to. They seem to have the performance there. I think where it may become an issue is not so much in the actual speed they can get out of the car, but in reliability, because obviously the car was designed around the Honda engine and the Honda CARES system, and each different engine and mechanicals has different vibrations it creates. So we may find problems with that, but I think in terms of outright performance, I don't think it'll make any difference.
All right, and Chris Evans.
I don't see why it should make that much difference. I mean, they gave up on last season far earlier than most teams, so they've been developing this year's car for longer than everyone else. So, in theory at least, they've had more time to sort of iron out issues. So, I don't think it should affect them that much. And I've got the current test, which most of the teams aren't at anyway, to sort of iron out final problems. So, yeah, I think that'll be all right.
And finally, is pace shown in Barcelona test going to be their true pace come race? And that goes to Andy.
I very much hope so. From what I've seen, the video and photos, the car looks good. It's putting in some good times, so I don't see any reason why they shouldn't continue on that form. I know testing is a bit of a dark art when it comes to accuracy, but I'd really like to see them do well.
Okay, and Alex.
Yeah, no, I think that if the testing times are right, then it's a very good time for them. But I don't know, I'm not sure, because it's one of those weird situations where they seem so far ahead and they are using the same engine as McLaren and all those kind of things. And it does worry me a little bit. It does put me in mind to a thought of maybe that they are doing something to just try and get some marketing money, and that's a bit of a worry. I don't know how they would be able to be that fast, perhaps, but anyway, I do just worry a little bit that the testing times won't translate into a real track time.
All right, then. Basically,
the only one not to get a finger, that's terrible.
Is this a new season? Are you being more remiss with your
opinion? I don't like the idea that they're doing it just for marketing. Could be true.
So, check out the scores.
The scores at the end of round one, Honda have 3 points and Gonda have 2.
Question two then, it's about USF1, who announced their proposal to enter the team last February for for the 2010 season. So the first question is, will they really make it in 2010? And Chris?
There's no evidence so far. I mean, they've just said, yes, we exist, and here's our Photoshop logo. They seem to be serious about it, so I expect they will be there, but I can't see them making much of an instant impact. They're talking themselves up at the moment. I think they're just stars and stripes and not much substance.
Right, and Steve?
I think they are going to make it. The people running it are very serious people. I mean, Peter Windsor, everyone knows him as a journalist now, but the guy was team manager at Williams when they were winning, was team manager at Ferrari. The guy really knows what he's doing. Ken Anderson's the same, very, very clever guy. They've already said in an Autosport article that they've started laying out the car already. So I think a lot of people seem to be under the impression that what we've seen on that half-hour TV programme is all that they have, but it's not. They have people already working for them. They've already started laying out the car. They've got some incredible facilities there. If they end up working with Epsilon Euskadi in Spain, then you get guys like Villadel Pratt and Sergio Rinland. I mean, those are real heavyweight F1 people. These guys are not messing about. The only problem they have, it's going to be the same one that answers the original Braun question, is doing the technical stuff is one thing. Getting a budget is the difficult part. And Braun may be the right guy to lead Honda technical, or to lead Braun technically, but you know, can the guy put together the people to raise him a budget? And the same applies to US F1 or USGPE as they're now called. Although obviously they have the speed exposure, which is something different they can sell, and the nationality thing, but I think they're going to be there.
Okay, then. So, for US GPE, as Stephen said, is there really two suitable US drivers for the team? And Alex, is there two suitable US drivers for the team?
Well, it's a difficult question because I wonder whether there really are. Danica Patrick, obviously, a lot of people have already talked about her as a candidate, and whether she's suitable or not, I don't know. And she just, I wonder whether she's just there for the marketing. Again, I'm suddenly mentioning marketing again, but maybe not. The thing is that they're not going to win in their first year. This is something that's quite important. It's very unlikely anyway. So they could do something very similar to a Red Bull type situation where they bring on some drivers right from the get-go and say, you know, we can be starting a young driver program now, and maybe the stars of F1 of the future are two drivers who we haven't even heard of yet. And that could be a really interesting thing. And maybe they'll have two drivers, but they won't be in the first couple of years, but they won't be the ones who win for them.
All right, then. And Andy?
Will they be able to find two American drivers? I'm not sure they will. I think they admitted as much themselves that they're having trouble finding suitable people. I know Danica Patrick said she doesn't want to travel, so that's kind of out unless they figure out a way of being able to remote control the car. Maybe they should have a word with McLaren about that. Does it have to be North? Does it have to be US? Does it have to be? Could we extend it to North American? Maybe we could persuade Jack to come back as a Canadian driver. that's not fair. So maybe they will have trouble.
So can US GPE make it more successful than other sports, open wheel sports in North America? And Gavin?
Absolutely no way. You are talking about a sport that's competing with baseball, American football, ice hockey, NBA, and maybe even soccer for an audience share. So you've already got quite a tied up audience. Then you've got them competing against NASCAR. And after that frightfully horrible video of NASCAR is the king with Digger the whatever he is this week, I have absolutely not one shred of hope that any F1 operation is going to get any popularity after seeing the thinking behind NASCAR is the king. And if you haven't seen that video, look it up and you will hate NASCAR for it.
That's true. Bassano.
I think the American audience might struggle to believe in the team when they find out that they're at the back of the grid for the first 3 years and might not stick with them. There's a possibility they could succeed quite well, but they don't like losing, as patriotic as they are. And they're going to have to stick with it if they want to see some success, and I think that could take a long time. So, no.
Right, let me see what are the scores, Mr. C.
The scores at the end of the second round. Honda have 8 and Gonda have 7.
Ooh.
All right, then, round 3. It's about the pre-season testing. Which team do you think has benefited from the pre-season testing the most? And that first goes to Andy.
I think it's Braun GP, without a doubt, because they've come back from the uncertainties over the last few months, and they've basically gone, we can do it. Look at us, we're top. And it's basically made all the other teams sit up and think and go, hold on a minute, they were kind of dead in the water about 3 months ago, and now they're coming back and setting times that we can't really match.
All right, then, and Alex?
Well, I think, yeah, I mean, it looks like teams that haven't been as far advanced are getting an advantage because there's not so much testing to be done. I wonder whether, on the team front, it's difficult to say where they're going. I mean, I think probably Braun F1 doing great work, but some of the drivers have been doing fantastic times out there. I'm really pleased for Rubens, sort of gone and beaten. He might be able to even beat that lap record tomorrow from Vettel, so that would be good.
All right, so recently everybody's been saying in the F1 paddock that McLaren are struggling. Even McLaren are saying it themselves. But are they really struggling? And that goes to Sano first.
I'm not sure. I'm not convinced that they're sort of doing a sandbagging job. They could be having a setup or know exactly what they're doing and just want people to put up. But I kind of think they're not as bad as they're making it out to be.
All right, then, and Gavin.
I think they're having trouble, but I don't think it's just adapting to the rules. What I think they're doing is, because of the ban on in-season testing, the teams have realised they've got to be able to develop parts during the year. And I think what they're going to do is they're going to try and figure out a way to devise the parts using wind tunnel and CFD testing before putting it on the car. And because you aren't allowed to actually test the parts, I think what they're doing now is they're trying to figure out whether their wind tunnel and CFD data works on the track, and if it does, and when it's calibrated properly, they can go ahead and make virtual parts. Because if they can do that, they can cut down development time and actually get more parts on the car and develop the car during the year.
Right. From the performances, who do you think will perform the best in Australia? And Stephen?
I have absolutely no idea. I've never known a season where you get this deep into pre-season testing and I don't have the slightest clue who's doing legitimate times, who's not doing good times. Normally you have a feel by now that one team is doing particularly well or particularly badly, or someone's done well at a tight twisted circuit like Jerez, but they go to Barcelona and they don't perform well. Right now, I have no idea. I actually sat down last week and I was going to phone in my top three prediction, and after about half an hour I gave up because I couldn't pick one driver that I thought was going to be there. Any sort of step up.
Right, and Chris?
Well, everything seems to point to Braun, but I think I'm still being quite cautiously optimistic about them. I don't want to get too excited about them. When the wheels fall off in Australia, I'm disappointed. But I think Renault seems to have made a sort of steady improvement over the tests, so I think Alonso might sort of nick it in Australia, but it's just impossible to tell. It could be any one of about six teams, really.
Alright, and that's round 3, so what the scores then?
Okay, at the end of that round, Honda have 10 and Gonda have 13. They've overtaken.
Are you going to rejig the aerodynamic rules for the next panel to ensure more overtaking then?
Alright, round 4. Simple round. How about the 2009 cars? Which is the best looking Chris?
I'm just saying that Chris is the best looking Chris.
Which is the best looking Chris?
Carry on, Chris.
We were talking this in the comments today, and I seem to be one of the very few people that actually like the Renault. It's a bit garish, but I don't know, it's got quite a bit of charm. Then again, I don't think there's a car I don't like this season. They all look just awesome. No one seems to like the Williams, and I'm quite fond of that as well. But I think the Red Bull's just, there's something about the Red Bull. It's Autosport said he's bringing sexy back to Formula One, which is a little bit much, but yeah, I'm going to go Red Bull.
All right, then, Stephen.
I like the Red Bull, I must admit, and I like the look of the McLaren, even though it seems to have some problems. The one thing that's been a standout for me recently has actually been the Braun. There's something about the shape of the side pods and that, and the way they've got the radiator inlets, they seem to be able to, you know, shape the radiator inlets and the side pods in a way where they're going to get a load of downforce off that. And okay, the colours are a bit dodgy. The, you know, the sort of Tippex and highlighter pen just doesn't work as a combination. I think the one I dislike, apart from the Renault, which I really dislike, but the front wing on that BMW, those end plates, I know it's a small part of the car, but it's effective. But who designs 90 degree angles on an F1 car? I just don't get that. They must have something really clever that they're keeping back, which they're not going to show us until they get to Melbourne, because I don't believe they're going to race with anything that ugly.
Which is the best livery on the grid then, and Alex?
Best livery? I'm afraid I'm biased towards, I think probably I always liked the red of the Ferrari, and that's kind of, I know that that's kind of basically an FIA point of view, and that's kind of cheating, but I think that that Ferrari always have that kind of colour, and it doesn't really matter. Anything that's got white in it always puts me off, and I think that's kind of everybody these days, so the livery side, it's Ferrari at the moment, I'm afraid, and that's a bit rubbish, but there you are.
Andy?
Well, I think I like the Williams testing scheme the best, but I think Red Bull have to have a honourable mention for the way that they've made the end plates on the rear wing look so good. The paint job is a masterpiece, and it actually makes them look quite attractive.
All right, which one is the ugliest looking car, Dan?
Ugliest looking car? Probably the Renault. You've got a combination of a fat nose, a fat bum, and the most horrible cream egg spilt paint livery I've ever seen. It's like when they were going to paint the car, they started painting it and they left it in the wind tunnel, then the wind tunnel got turned on and it turned on all the streets. The thing is, I can see why Renault have done the fat nose thing, but it just doesn't work. It's horrible. But then having said that, a lot of the cars, the noses are too high and the front wings are too low, and I'm tending to favour towards the low nose Formula 1 cars, like the McLaren and the Braun and that. But definitely the Renault is the ugliest.
All right, and Bassano?
I'm going for Toyota, but that's mostly just because it just bores me to tears. So if that equals ugly, then that's what I'm going with.
All right, and then, so that's the end of round four. What was scores?
At the end of that round, Honda have 16, but Gonda have 17, and Mr. C has 2.
To continue on with the livery theme, Braun GP is looking rather dull right now, with just plain white and highlighter pens scribbled all over it. So even if it doesn't have any sponsors, what colour do you think Braun GP should be? And that goes first.
Is that a point for the host? Alex. Good question, RG.
Okay, well, let's go completely opposite. We'll keep the yellow, maybe, and then just go black and yellow. How about that?
Any reason why?
Well, I like the black cars that there previously had been, and obviously that's for reasons of cigarette sponsorship, but and we don't really want that anymore. But I think, yeah, just black cars are kind of cool, and then why not? There isn't anybody else doing it. It would look really different and be completely different than everybody else is doing.
All right, then.
I also would have said black, but as that's, well, I think for a bold yellow with some black stripes, it's here in the wattle together. Make it like the old Jordan.
Do you think I should get extra points because everybody's agreed with me so far?
I think in the tradition of racing cars, you should probably go for some old school colour scheme. Seeing as they've got no sponsors, let's bring back British Racing Green with some proper stripes, maybe some, oh, I don't know, yellow ones or white ones, two straight down the middle, and get some proper British sponsors on it. And of course, don't forget it's got a German engine.
Stephen.
I think they need something distinct. So many cars are, you know, they're not easy to pick out. They don't have anything really distinctive. It's like, you know, I've had the problem in recent seasons with the Williams and the BMWs, where they look almost the same. So I think they should go and get something that really just stands out. There used to be a Formula 3000 team, an Italian one called Il Barone Rampante. It's a fabulous name for a team. We had a purple and yellow colour scheme which really just stood out against anything. Or they could go and nick the previous McLaren testing livery, the orange one, which just stands out. Or if you want to go back a little bit further than that, they could take the original Leighton House March Miami blue colour, which just stood out a million miles away. So they need to go and find something really bright, really individual, and then they've got to go and try and find sponsors who are prepared to put their names on that colour.
Okay, then, Chris?
As long as they don't stick a big stupid planet to it, I don't care what colour it is. But other than that, I quite like them to do a sort of split down the middle colour like it's sort of great granddad the BAR did for one season. That was quite cool.
Lost it all again. He earned it. He lost it in the same rank.
I should have kept quiet.
RG.
And finally, Andy.
What colour should Bourne GP be? They should look at the grid, and they should choose a colour that's completely different to what's on the grid. Maybe they should go for a different highlighted colour. Maybe they should try and get sponsorship from Dynarod. And orange instead.
That's luminous.
That would be hideous.
That would be luminous again. You've already said not luminous. That would be immense. There's a name for that colour as well. Is it like Dino? They've actually patented the colour. As if somebody, they actually got this bright orange colour and thought that's a really good colour. Someone might try and steal it off. So they patented the name and the colour that they paint their vans with. Who is ever going to steal that?
You know how, have you guys played Need for Speed before? And you know how you start off with quite a plain car, and as you go through, you get to earn liveries, paint schemes, and decals. I wonder if Bourne are going to do that as they earn more points. They're going to have more colours and decals added to the car.
More they have like a tally. They can have a tally chart of cars I've overtaken on the side of the car.
For every successful pit stop, the mechanic should get a gold star.
Oh, come on, that's going to be worth a point.
At the end of that round, Honda have 19 and Gonda are now racing ahead with 23. Mr. C has 3, RG has 1 and Flipster has 1.
Do you remember that? I'm still on minus a million for the previous comment.
That is true.
All right, then. Next question. There's been a lot of testing recently. Which driver would you most like to have as your team's test driver? We'll start off with Pisano.
Some bands I attitude that just don't care if someone's in front of them, like Kuth. So if there's an accident, you know, so what? Patel.
All right, then. So, Kevin?
Who would I have as my test driver? Probably someone consistent like Alonso, or somebody who's quiet and just gets the job done like Bertie, or who's that fella that does it for... Oh, Wurz. Someone like Wurz or Bertie. Or just someone who's quiet and consistent and can help develop the car. I'm just wondering how much McLaren are missing Alonso with the testing this year. Because there's an allegation that the 2008 car really was built on a 2007 car and Alonso helped develop that. And because he's not there this year, that maybe they're missing having a more experienced guy doing the testing.
So, Chris?
It's got to be Frank, hasn't it?
He's new, but he's experienced.
Yeah, but you would not have Frank in your main as your test driver then.
Sorry?
Yeah, if you have Frank as your test driver, he's not your race driver, is he?
He's there as a kind of in step up from test to a race seat. I'm only having to do my test driver for one season.
Good save. We've just lost RG, a communication problem between our host and ourselves, so I'm just standing in for him until we can get him back. And I will throw the same question that he just asked everybody else to Stephen Roy. Who would you have as your test driver in your team?
In an ideal world, probably Wurz would be my first choice. I think the problem he has is he's a big guy, and you end up in the situation where McLaren were, where they were building special cars for him to test. which obviously isn't an ideal situation. If I was going for a younger driver and there was enough testing available, the rest of it would be the guy I've gone for, I would go for there. But right now, looking at the experienced drivers, you either have to go for someone like De La Rosa or Luca Badoa or Ferrari or Marginet at Ferrari, because those are the guys who have the experience, who are not of a size where they need a special car that's adapted to them. Because testing is limited, those are the guys who are going to get your results fastest.
Okay, and the same question to Alex.
I think Badoa and Pedalo are really the two that I would say are the best guys out there. But and then the problem is that anybody who's a driver is somebody that you find taking them away from driving is a bad idea. But again, Alonso is a great choice. I think actually clearly it looks like again Brawn F1 have done a great job this year because they've got two quite experienced drivers at this stage. So Jensen and Barrichello probably some pretty good test drivers. They're at least reasonably consistent.
Finally, same question to Andy.
I think if it's a current driver, I'd go for either Wurz or De La Rosa. Otherwise, I guess someone like Schumacher might be. That's Michael Schumacher would be an interesting person to have. It seems to be someone who communicates with his team and his engineers. Don't like that. I'm definitely not going to mention anyone else.
Awesome. Give us the scores, Christine, and then we'll figure out what to do next, because we could do with a final round.
Okay, the scores at the end of that round. Honda have 21 and Gonda have 28. Oh yeah, I was going to say, in the comments, there's suggestions that RG's disappeared because he was going to sing the YMCA.
Right.
And now he can't.
Wonderful. Okay.
How convenient.
Well, RG may be practicing the YMCA, but prior to this show, we were actually sent... a jingle, if you like, or you might consider it a rap redux from Mr. Alex Andronov, with his impersonation of the YMCA. And this is brilliant, so listen up.
RG, there's no need to feel down. I said, RG, pick yourself off the ground. I said, RG, 'cause you're in a new town. There's no need to be unhappy. Host of Side Pod Panel. You're the host of Side Pod Panel. Oh. RG, RG, RG.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Andy, whatever you were assuming at the time, I want some.
Loud and very clear.
I just want some, because that was brilliant. That was...
Oh, man.
You didn't think it through, did you? So the first question, in RG's absence, name some up-and-coming drivers that aren't yet in F1, but who, in the future, may win the F1 World Championship. And the first person that goes to is Stephen.
I think I have three that I think look very, very promising. Nico Hülkenberg is obviously a test driver already. From what I've seen of him, he looks like he's a very good driver and certainly going to establish himself in F1 if he gets a seat. I think the problem all these young guys have just now is we have a fairly young batch of racing drivers as it is, so it's a problem for them to get in and get a good seat. Paul Di Resta, I've been going on about for 2-3 years now, and sooner or later he's going to get a break and he's going to do something special. And the third one is someone I saw last season. I went to a race meeting at Knock Hill, and for only the second time ever, I went and saw a driver who I'd never heard of before and just watched him in one race, one 10-lap race, and the guy blew me away. It's a guy called Wayne Boyd, who's a Northern Ireland driver, who is just a kid. You actually see the picture of him on the team's website. He looks like he's 12. He drove a great race. His teammate was the reigning Australian Formula 4 driver who'd obviously had a lot of experience in that category. He had two other older teammates, so you get four of them in the same team, same car, disappeared into distance at the start of the race. Someone near the back of the field had a spin and ripped off an oil line, covered the track in oil. At the same time, half the track was soaking wet. He arrived at that, burst through it, lost the place, made up the places again when the race restarted, did some real clever tactical stuff to hold the other guys behind him, then built his lead again. The kid is really something special. So, Hulkenberg, DiResta, Wayne Boyd. That's my three.
And same question goes to Chris.
I'd like to think Degrassi can still get into F1 and make a decent impact. I mean, he's like, what is he, 24, 25 now? And for a new F1 driver, that's actually quite old nowadays. Like, they're getting him when they're like 12 or something now. So, especially Toro Rosso, they'll have anyone who's who can walk. of the name, I'd like to see.
Oh, no.
And I'd like to think Bruno Senna can get in as well. It'd be nice to see another Senna at the top of the charts, but I'm going to be quiet now before losing any more points.
How did he do that? Oh my goodness, Andy.
Well, I didn't really notice the research question, so I've just been doing a bit of desperate quick Googling to find some names. I did turn up a couple of the ones that Stephen mentioned, but I found a young lad by the name of Jay Goodwin, who's 11 years old and is basically in the kind of same position that Lewis Hamilton was when he was 11. So there's one. The only other person I managed to find was please don't give me a minus point for this, but Danica Patrick. But I don't think that that's accurate.
That's silence. Very, nothing but
very
silence.
Quickly, very, very quickly. Other than that, the only other thing I can think of is whether Frank, Sebastian, or the other one.
The other one, brilliant. Oh, my goodness. Alex, save your team.
Oh, God. The question's asked in such a specific way that the question was, who isn't in Formula One right now and who could win the Formula One championship in the future? And there is, and I just sort of don't want to get a minus point for this, but it could be, I suppose, Michael Schumacher. He could come back and do that. But let's not go for that. Maybe it'll be his son, or maybe Martin Brundle's son. That would be quite fun. Alex Brundle, I have no idea how good he is, but he could be quite fun for him.
There you go. That was a plus for a Michael Schumacher comment. That may well be a side pod panel first. Gavin.
I'm going to go for a young New Zealander in the Red Bull development program called Brendan Hartley. The kid is like 18 or 19. He finished third in the British Formula 3 Championship last year, won a few races. This is after winning the European Formula Renault 2-litre championship, having to learn all the circuits that he didn't know. He's very fast. He's just got a super licence and he's Red Bull and Toro Rosso's reserve driver. And he's a Kiwi, so he's going to be awesome and he's going to win the World Championship.
And finally, Bassano hasn't answered this question. Bassano.
I'd certainly agree with DiResta and Hulkenberg, but to introduce a new name that hasn't been talked about tonight, there's a Swiss lady called Natasha Gashnang, which my pronunciation's probably well off there, but she's racing in F2 this year. Gachnang. Sebastian Buemi's cousin. So I'm going to go for that. I think it'd be interesting to have a female driver, and there's some good words being spoken about her at the moment, so let's see what she's up to.
Okay, the scores at the end of the penultimate round. Honda have 24 and Gonda have 28.
Can they save it in this round? So now we come to the final round. We're still missing RG, but we have got RG's list of questions. And I would like to point out that this is his idea and not mine. I just get the unfortunate role of asking it.
Oh, dear.
I don't know who to ask first with this one, but we'll take a random punt. The question is, which current F1 driver do you have a man crush on? And the question goes to Bassano.
I think I'm going to have to pick Kimi Raikkonen, just for his playboy attitude, in the style of James Hunt with a little bit less charisma. can't say he's a man crush, but if I'm pushed, that's what I'm going to get.
Okay. And this time to Gavin.
Okay, I'm going to say Lewis Hamilton. Simply because I've had an argument with my wife about Lewis Hamilton, had an argument with my father-in-law about Lewis Hamilton, had an argument with my boss about Lewis Hamilton, and I've been sworn at by Spaniards because of Lewis Hamilton. So on the basis that I'm still a supporter of Lewis Hamilton, even though everybody hates me because I hate him and I like him, I must have a man crush on him. It's as simple as that. So Lewis, call me, please.
Andy.
I'm not really sure. I think I'm going to have to go with Rubens because of that face. What's not to love?
Okay. Do you want to elaborate on that a little bit more? Or?
No. I just feel sorry for him after all those years, you know, having to be number two to one and all that kind of thing. It doesn't seem fair. So just want to go and give him a big cuddle. You know, a man out. It's patting.
Okay, same question to Chris.
You've just stolen my answer now. I was going to say Sebastian Bourdais because after seeing him having his little cry, I just wanted to give him a big hug.
Oh, no, that's what I was going to say.
Everyone loves Bourdais.
Okay, who does that leave us with then? Stephen, for Team Honda.
I was going to take the same sort of sympathy approach to Covey that's just been mentioned for Rubens Barrichello there. But having listened to Gavin's answer, I've had exactly the same experience with Lewis Hamilton that he's had. I've argued with everybody about him. I've written articles on him trying to defend things that people have slagged him off for. I've spoken to so many people about him and I've had exactly the same experience as Gavin said. So I'm going to have to fight Gavin for Lewis.
And he hasn't called either of you either.
Alex, who do you have a man crush on?
Okay, I'm going to say that it's because I haven't been a fan of his driving, but somehow, despite everything, I still like Jensen, and it's been really horrible for him in the last few years, and now maybe he's got a cool car, and it's going to be really fast and everything, and he's got that beard and everything, and maybe that's something.
He's got that beard and everything.
But anyway, I was going to get a point.
A glowing recommendation.
I was the only one to mention looks the whole time. Come on.
Fair enough.
I've got a beard and I'm now officially worried.
I do believe that brings the first SidePod panel of the 2009 season to a close. We finished without the host that we started with, which is a SidePodcast first. We've plumbed new depths of desperation. We've totally lost IG. He's never coming back. I don't know what we did to offend him. Can we have the final scores for Team Honda and Team Gonda, please?
Okay, well, in the end, it wasn't that close. Honda have 26 and Gonda have 32.
Yay!
Yeah!
Despite my best efforts.
And Honda got beaten again.
So that's it then.
We are done.
The first panel is over. And it was brilliant.
It was when we got there.
Yes.
Wasn't it, guys?
You had
yes,
fun,
thank you, everybody.
Didn't you?
Yay.
Chris, how did you find it?
It was an experience.
An experience you would ever repeat ever again?
I'll consider it, yeah.
Okay. Bassano, how did you find it?
It's been emotional. That's great fun.
Are we going to do another one next week?
We are going to try.
God help us all.
Yes.
Thank you, people.